This is the Scripture Driven Church broadcast, brought to you by Teaching the Word Ministries. The Church of Jesus Christ must be the Scripture Driven Church, relying on God's inspired and inerrant Word as our sole authority and our infallible critic in every area of life and ministry. And now, here's author, Bible teacher, and Teaching the Word president, Dr. Paul Elliott, to introduce today's program.
Today, I'm going to depart from our current series in the book of Colossians to bring you a special message and a personal challenge. It's a challenge to individual Christians, and it's also a challenge to pastors and churches. On one of our recent broadcasts, I mentioned that one of the biggest issues the church is facing today is the problem of biblical illiteracy. Did you know that only 15% of the people who identify themselves as Bible-believing Christians read the Bible even two or three times a week? Did you know that 35% of the people who identify themselves as Bible-believing Christians never read the Bible at all? And did you know that the other 50% of the people who identify themselves as Bible-believing Christians only read God's Word once in a while, and very few read the Scriptures systematically? Well, last year at this time, I encouraged our broadcast listeners to make a commitment to change this picture, a commitment by God's grace to read through the entire Bible during the year 2010. In response to that challenge, pastors wrote to us and asked for a supply of our free Bible reading schedule so that they could make it available to everyone in their congregations. And they used the opportunity to encourage their congregations to read the entire Word of God during this year. Many individuals also contacted us to let us know that you had made a commitment and that you were asking for a Bible reading schedule. And through the year, I've been praying that those of you who made the commitment would follow through on that commitment to read the entire Word of God during 2010. Well, now we're coming to the end of 2010. Can you believe how quickly this year has gone by? But I want to encourage you to take up the challenge again for 2011. I had an email the other day from a pastor who said that in 2010, he was reading through the entire Bible for the 42nd time. And the Lord willing, he'll be doing it for the 43rd time in 2011. But you don't have to be a pastor to need to read the Word of God regularly and systematically. Every Christian, young and old, in every stage of life, and in every kind of vocation, needs to read the entire Word of God. I could tell you many reasons why you should read the Bible. But today I want to focus on telling you why you should read the Bible systematically. My purpose in doing this is to give you a personal challenge, a Bible reading challenge. And I'm praying that you will make a commitment to read the entire Bible all the way through in 2011. The statistics I mentioned a few moments ago really highlight what one religious magazine said about the position of the Bible, even among evangelicals today. The magazine said that the Bible has become the greatest story never read. There's far too little Bible reading and Bible knowledge today, even among people who claim to be Bible-believing Christians. But there's another Bible reading problem among Christians today. If you do read the Bible, it's easy to fall into a harmful pattern. It's easy to fall into a spiritual rut. You fall into that spiritual rut by just reading your favorite books or your favorite passages in the Bible over and over again. I've known some people who read nothing but the New Testament. I've known other people who don't read anything but the four Gospels. I remember encountering one longtime Christian who told me that she had never read anything much except the Gospel of John. Some folks read little else but the Psalms and Proverbs. And I've actually known men who were respected as experts on the Bible, who admitted privately that they had never read the entire Bible even once. Not reading the entire Word of God produces Christians who are weak and shallow. Not reading the entire Word of God produces Christian parents who are not able to instruct their children in the true faith. Not reading the entire Word of God produces Christians who are overdeveloped in some areas of truth, but underdeveloped in others. Something else you need to remember is that if you are a believer on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us that every believer is a conscript soldier in the battle against Satan and his forces. But failing to read all of God's Word produces Christian soldiers who stand in the battle without their spiritual armor, and especially without their one offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Dear friend, the Bible is very clear, itself, within itself, about this point. It says that you need the whole Bible. You need to read it all. In those familiar words in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, the Apostle Paul declares that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Complete and thorough equipping of the Christian in every walk of life, in every stage of life, requires that you have complete, thorough, and continual exposure to God's Word. All Scripture is inspired, and all of it, not just the parts that we may pick and choose, is profitable. It's profitable for four things, Paul tells us. It's profitable for doctrine, teaching us the truth by which we are saved, and which is to govern every area of our thinking and living. It's profitable, secondly, for reproof, putting the finger on the places in our living and thinking where we've gotten off the path of sound doctrine. It's profitable, thirdly, for correction, bringing us back onto the right path when we've strayed from it. It's profitable, lastly, for instruction in righteousness, keeping us on the path of sound doctrine. The book of James puts it this way, in chapter 1, beginning at verse 22, "Be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, that is God's word, and continues in it, is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does." You need to read the whole Bible because a Christian needs to understand the whole picture of God's eternal plan for all things and your place in it. You also need to understand that there are no contradictions or paradoxes in the Bible. You can't truly understand that the Bible is one book, God speaking with one consistent voice, unless you read the whole book. Let me give you just a few examples. Every major Bible doctrine has its beginning in the book of beginnings, in Genesis. The doctrine of God and the doctrine of the Trinity begin right at the beginning of Genesis. The doctrines of origins, of man, Satan, sin, Christ, and salvation all begin in Genesis. The doctrines of marriage, the family, stewardship, justification by faith, the origin of languages, angels, God's moral law, the abomination of homosexuality, Israel, the divine covenants, and eschatology, the doctrine of the last things, all of these begin in Genesis. The first five books of the Bible tell us the beginnings of the history of Israel and God's dealings with them. Understanding that history will help you better understand the rest of the Old Testament. Why did the psalmist say that he loved the law of God? Why did God become angry with Israel and Judah and evict them from the promised land? What happened when God permitted them to return? What were the promises regarding a future Messiah? You need to know these things. Better understanding the Old Testament will vastly improve your grasp of the New Testament. What are all the prophecies of Messiah that were fulfilled in the first coming of Jesus Christ? What is the new covenant promised in Jeremiah and elsewhere? And when did it actually begin? Why did Paul make a distinction between someone who was a Jew only outwardly and someone who was a Jew inwardly? Why did Paul make such a strong point of connecting all of fallen human beings with Adam? And why did he make such a strong point of connecting all who are in Christ with Abraham? Who are all of those people in the roll call of faith in Hebrews chapter 11? And what happened in their lives? What is the writer to the Hebrews talking about as he explains all of the Old Testament types and figures of Christ? How do Old Testament prophecies shed light on the book of Revelation? You can't fully understand these things unless you read the whole Bible. The first five books of the Old Testament are quoted nearly 300 times in the New Testament. All told, there are over 4,000 references to the Old Testament in the New Testament. 20 of the 26 books of the New Testament directly quote the Old Testament. 30 of the 39 books of the Old Testament are directly quoted in the New Testament, and all 39 are referred to. You can't get the whole picture of what God has done, is doing, and is going to do, and your place in it, unless you read the entire Word of God. But you know, some Christians have a been-there-done-that kind of an attitude toward reading the Bible. I've been there, I've done that. I've done it once, so I don't need to do it again. Some people think they've outgrown the Bible, and they turn to other books and other pursuits, and they think that these things are more suited to their level of spiritual and intellectual attainment. But the fact is, as soon as you stop reading the Word of God, you begin to forget who God is, and you begin to forget who you are in God's sight. You create a spiritual vacuum in your life, and Satan is only too ready to fill that void with unspiritual thoughts. Psalm 119 records the inspired thoughts of a man who read God's Word over and over and over again. Verses 15 and 16 of that psalm sum up his resolve. He says to the Lord, "I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word." The force of the Hebrew is that he would meditate, contemplate, and delight in the Scriptures continually, without ceasing, and the result would be that he would never forget God's Word. You need continual, repeated, thoughtful, systematic exposure to the truth, so that that truth will stay with you and in you. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 28, the Apostle Paul says this, "We preach Christ, warning every man, and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." Warning every man, teaching every man, that we may present every man. Every man needs to be warned. Every Christian needs to be taught. And every Christian needs to be presented perfect or complete or mature. There are no spiritual elites in the Church of Jesus Christ. Every man needs to be warned. Him we preach, Paul says, we preach Christ. And the word preach here means we tell about Christ everywhere, and we tell about him with conviction. And in the original language, Paul is saying that it is something that he did continually. He never stopped, and neither can we. How do we do it? First of all, Paul says, by warning every man. We point every man to the only way of salvation. And we warn every man of the consequences of unbelief. But it is not only unbelievers who need to be warned. Every Christian needs to be warned as well. In Colossians chapter 2, Paul gives this warning to Christians. He says, "Beware, lest anyone cheat you of what is rightfully yours, or make you a spiritual captive by putting things into your mind that are not in agreement with Christ and his word. Don't let anyone rob you of the riches that you have in Christ." The unbeliever needs to be warned about his lost condition, and the believer needs to be warned about being robbed of your riches in Christ. Every man needs to be warned, and the Word of God is what does that. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 28, Paul also says that every Christian needs to be taught. every Christian needs to be built up in Christ. And Paul adds this, teaching every man in all wisdom. The force of the phrase in the original is like this. We're in the business of imparting specialized wisdom. Wisdom that the world does not have. Wisdom that the unbelieving world knows nothing about. And Paul says that this is lifelong learning. It can never stop. Every Christian needs to be taught in all wisdom, each and every aspect of the wisdom found in the Word, the whole book. You need the whole picture, the whole panorama. That is why every Christian should be reading the Bible through on a regular basis. If you devote just 20 minutes a day, you can read the entire Bible in a year. The important thing is to have that wide, panoramic view of the Word of God, to see Christ revealed in the pages of the Bible from the beginning to the end. Every Christian needs to be taught from the Word of God. Every man, saved and unsaved, needs to be warned. Every Christian, every saved person needs to be taught. And lastly, Paul says, every Christian needs to be made complete. Him we preach, Paul says, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom for this goal, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Every Christian needs to reach the point of being fully grown up, fully mature in Christ. That's what the word perfect means in Colossians chapter 1. We start out the Christian life as babes in Christ, the Bible tells us. But we're not supposed to stay at the baby stage. The Apostle Paul wrote his letter to the church at Corinth because they were acting like babies in Christ. They had abandoned the authority of the Word of God. They had gone off after the worldly wisdom and the humanistic philosophies that abounded in Corinth in those days. They had gone off into preacher worship and all kinds of disorder in the church. And the people in the church at Corinth thought that they were sophisticated, so sophisticated, in fact, that they were tolerating open immorality among the members of the church. But the Apostle Paul took the Corinthian church to task in the strongest possible terms. The essence of what he said to them was this, "So you think you've really arrived? So you think you've become the spiritual elite? Well, the fact is you haven't matured. You have regressed. I can't even write to you as spiritually mature people because you're acting like babies. You've got to grow up. And the way you're going to grow up is to get back under the authority of the Word of God." And point by point, he addressed all of their problems and shortcomings. And as Paul did that, he kept pointing the Corinthians back to the authority of the Word of God, and back to the authority of Christ as the head of the church. In the last chapter of 1 Corinthians, he said this to them, "Do not be children in understanding, but in understanding be mature." And the word translated mature in 1 Corinthians is the same root word that we have in Colossians 1:28 translated perfect, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. Every Christian needs to be made perfect. Every Christian needs to grow up and become mature in his understanding of Christ and his word. How do we become mature? We have the answer just a few verses further down in Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse 6. Paul says, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power." How do we become mature as Christians? First of all, Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, walk in him. Literally, conduct your life in him. Be like Christ. Behave as he would have you behave. And the only way you can learn how God commands you to behave is to read about the pattern of Christian behavior that you find throughout the Word of God. Secondly, Paul says, be rooted and built up in Christ. become established in the faith. A healthy tree becomes firmly rooted in the soil. A healthy Christian becomes firmly rooted in Christ and His Word. And not only be rooted in Him, Paul says, but be built up in Him. The idea is that of a strong, stable building rising up out of a firm foundation. A strong, stable Christian rises up out of the firm foundation of the Word of God. And the Christian who is rooted and built up in Christ becomes firmly established, as we read in Colossians 1 verse 7. The idea is that the inner strength of the believer increases as we become firmly rooted in Christ and in the Word, and as the edifice of our Christian life rises out of that firm foundation. A strong edifice can stand firm against the strong winds of Satan's attacks. So with all of these things in mind, let me repeat the Bible reading challenge. Will you, by God's gracious enabling, make a commitment to read the entire Bible in 2011 and stick with that commitment by His grace? It is my prayer that you will. And we'd like to help you with that commitment. Contact us, and we'll be glad to mail you a free Bible reading schedule that will take you through the entire Word of God in a year in about 20 minutes a day. Now, this schedule takes you through the Old Testament and New Testament simultaneously, and you'll find that many times the Old and New Testament readings on a given day will have a direct connection. You can start the schedule on January 1st or on any day of the year. The important thing is to begin.
Here once again is Dr. Paul Elliott with some closing comments.
Dear friend, I hope that you and everyone in your household will take up the Bible reading challenge. Please contact us today, and we'll mail you your free 2011 Bible reading schedule for yourself and for your family. The 2011 Bible reading schedule also makes a great bulletin insert for your entire church congregation. If you would like a supply of the 2011 Bible reading schedule for your church, please contact us and let us know how many you need, and we'll send them to you at no cost or obligation. You can contact us right now to make your request from anywhere in the United States by calling our toll-free number, 888-804-9655. So why not pick up the phone right now? Our toll-free number, once again, is 888-804-9655. Or you can make your request for the 2011 Bible reading schedule online by visiting our website, teachingtheword.org, and clicking the contact link. Once again, that's the contact link at teachingtheword.org. Or you can request the 2011 Bible reading schedule for yourself, your family, or your church by writing to us at Box 2533, Westminster, Maryland, 21158, USA. Once again, our mailing address is Teaching the Word Ministries, Box 2533, Westminster, Maryland, 21158, USA. Also, if you don't have a Bible, we would be happy to send you one without cost or obligation. I also want to let you know that we have extended our free offer of the book, Spiritual Depression, Its Causes and Cure, written by one of the greatest pastors and preachers of the 20th century, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. Today, many Christians and churches are turning to pop psychology and even elements of New Age philosophy for the answers to life's problems, instead of turning to the Word of God. Martin Lloyd-Jones takes us back to the Bible for the answers, in many areas in which people find themselves in bondage today. You'll find this book to be an excellent resource to guide you in your study of God's Word as you confront the challenges of living the Christian life in an unbelieving world. Once again, the title of the book is Spiritual Depression, Its Causes and Cure by Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. The normal price of this 300-page book is $24.95, including shipping. But right now we're offering it free and postage paid while supplies last to anyone who requests it. You can call us toll-free 24 hours a day in the United States at 888-804-9655. Our website is teachingtheword.org. And our address is Box 2533, Westminster, Maryland, 21158, USA. And until next time, may God richly bless your personal study of His inspired, infallible, and inerrant Word.
This weekly program, The Scripture-Driven Church, is brought to you by the faithful friends and supporters of Teaching the Word Ministries.